off and give it to the Lord. Come on, one more time. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Can everybody hear me in the back? I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. The book of Luke, chapter 10. I'm going to start at verse 25. You start at verse 25. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Could you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood. A neighborly day for beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted a neighbor just like you. I always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Would you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Hello, neighbor. Tell somebody next to me and say, hello, neighbor.
Hello, neighbor.
Hallelujah. The Bible reads, it says, and a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. You answered it correctly. Do this, do this, and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring out oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Last verse. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. If we see ourselves in others, we'll do for others as we would do for ourselves. I want to talk to you about the love we know, but the love we don't show. Mm.
love we know, but the love we don't show. Where's the love? Bow your heads with me. Father, we are here because of you. We're here for you, and we are here to hear from you. Lord, in this next moment, I'm asking you to have your way. You gotta hide me behind the cross, because I don't have no ability or no energy. It's gotta be you. There is, your people are here, standing here, God. And you are obligated to do what you said that you would do. So Lord, have your way. I am willing, and your people's hearts are open to receive this word from you. Then there's somebody in here that don't know where the love is. Lord, I pray that you answer them today. If there's anybody that wants to know where the life is, I pray that you will feed us, Lord. Give us the truth of life. If anybody is seeking your eternal life, that will be answered today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Touch your neighbor and say, I love you, neighbor. I love you, neighbor. See, go to the other side and say, I love you, neighbor. I love you, neighbor. And you may be seated. You may be seated. Say, I love you, neighbor. I love you. Will you be my neighbor? Will you be my neighbor? Last week, we discussed that God loves us so much. That God loves us so much that he proved it. The Bible says that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That God proved it, that he gave his very best. That he gave agape love. Unconditional love. Listen, my son is here today. There's no way. I love you, Filio. Filio, that's brotherly love. But agape means that connection that God wanted, that connection that he desired. He was willing to do anything to have that connection, even giving up his very best. Is there anybody that has ever had a connection with someone or something and you lost them?
Yeah.
We're celebrating Memorial Weekend. You lost them. And you would do anything to have that connection again.
Yeah.
I'm here to let you know and to inform you or to remind you that if they be in Christ, hallelujah, they're not dead, but they are alive. Jesus said this, we who are believers, we just go to sleep. But the master said when we go to sleep, he wake us back up. I've been reminded of the Bible says, he says, everybody that the Father has given into his hand, no man shall pluck it up, shall pluck it out. So if you've lost someone, know this, if they be in Christ, hallelujah, he woke them up. Is there any believers that knows what I'm saying? He woke them up. He woke them up. And Jesus is not a man that he should lie. It's that connection. God proved it. He proved his love. Love is a verb. And it comes with a cost. And he was willing to lose it all for the connection. For the connection with us. Because he sees himself in you. And he's not going to ever abandon you or leave you alone. Hallelujah. He'll never leave you alone. I said, I got to talk to my people. I said to somebody that he'll never leave you alone. I know some of us feel like we're alone, we're doing about it, but he said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never abandon you. You are not claiming you. You are his. And he gave it all that he may be connected to you. He proved it. He proved it. Today, my assignment is to show you how we prove our love. I said, my assignment is to show you how we prove our love. This week, as I studied in this particular text, it scared the bejesus out of me. I just want to talk. I want to have some fun. It scared me because what I learned was, when I realized that there are good people. There are good people that I know. There are people who know God.
Yes.
Good people. I know people who know God. I know people who have gifts and talents and titles. But after reading this text, if the word be truth, everybody's not going to inherit eternal life.
That's right.
I don't know if that scares you, but it scared me. That people that I love, good people.
Yes. Come on.
There are people that I know have gifts, talents, they have titles. But after studying this week, the word showed me that everybody's not going to inherit eternal life.
Yeah.
And the word showed me it's this one thing that I believe a lot of people are missing.
Yeah.
It's one thing.
Yeah.
Touch your neighbor and say, I'm going to make it. I don't know who he's talking about, but I'm going to make it. Talk to me, saints. In this particular story, I got to go back to chapter 9. We're in chapter 10. But I got to go back to chapter 9 because in chapter 9, Jesus calls the 12. He calls the 12 disciples and he gives them power. Power over devils. Power to heal the sick. He gave them authority to preach the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And he gives them this ability. He gives them this authority.
Yes.
And he sends them into places that Jesus was going to eventually go, but he sends them first. And he's told them, don't take nothing.
Yes.
The only thing that I want you to take is the ability, the authority that I gave you. I'm excited. They went around with the power of the Holy Ghost. They went around with them. They did the stuff that Jesus, they saw Jesus doing. They were doing it. Gave them authority. And they came back with the account for the Lord. And they told the Lord what happened. And because of what they did in all the communities, it drew more people to Jesus. Oh, the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The next chapter begins. That was just the 12. The next chapter begins. Jesus selects 70 more people. He gives them authority to cast down devils,
yes,
to tread on serpents,
yes,
to preach the kingdom of God.
Yes.
He gave them this authority. He gives them this power. Oh my God. And they go out, same thing, two by two. They went out two by two. They didn't go out alone. Because the Bible says, it's not good to be alone. It's not good to be all one. Listen, some of us are making poor decisions in our lives because you're the only one making them. Two to make a thing.
Right.
Amen. You're doing it all by yourself, and God didn't create you to be alone.
Right.
All one. He created us as a us, as a we, as an our.
Yeah.
And the moment we try to do it by ourselves, God says, that's not good. Can you imagine this? That everything that God created, he said, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That ain't good.
Yeah.
And you're still going out alone thinking you're going to make good on something that God from heaven said that ain't.
Yeah.
Honey, learn to be friendly and get a friend so that you can make some things happen.
Yeah.
Because in order for an agreement to take place, It needs to be two or more.
Yeah.
Or that thing ain't no agreement. They come back and they're casting down devils. 70 folks. They're casting down devils. Hallelujah. They're spreading the kingdom of heaven to the saints. They're trading on scorpions. They come back to Jesus and they get hyped. They're in, oh my God, Jesus, you should have seen it. Jesus, you should have seen it. We went out there, we casted out devils. Man, this is no joke. We're doing it. We spreading the kingdom of heaven to the world. We got the authority. We're doing it. And Jesus says, watch me, saints. Don't joy in your abilities.
Yeah.
Don't joy in your knowledge.
Yeah.
No. Don't joy in your gifts.
Yeah.
Don't joy in that. Joy that your name is recorded in heaven. Joy for that. Can you imagine, Joey? Can you imagine your favorite basketball player excited because they fast? I'm fast. Yeah. Or I'm excited because I can jump high. Yeah, I can jump high. My favorite professional athlete, they're excited because of their ability. I don't want you excited because of your ability. I want you excited for the game we're about to win.
That's right. Yeah.
I want you excited because you're thinking about the championship.
Yeah.
Everybody got abilities.
Yeah.
Everybody got some form of knowledge.
Yeah.
Everybody has that authority. Everybody got that. Don't joy over that. Joy because you're saved.
Yeah.
You won. Yeah. I don't know who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
But if you're somebody that's dealing with the same cycle over and over and over and over and over and over again, I'm here to tell you, you have authority to bind it.
Yeah.
Open up your mouth and cast it down.
Yeah.
You're casting those things down with your mind. You cannot fight a devil. You cannot fight a thought with a thought. The Bible doesn't say that God exalted his thoughts above his name.
Yeah.
He said that he exalted his word above the name. Which means that if you want to cast down those anxieties, those thoughts, that pornography, those things that try to easily beset you. Come on, somebody. That anxiety, that depression. Come on, I'm coming down your lane. Those things that try to, somebody cutting you off and you get angry and you're ready to flick them off. Those things. You have the power to open up your mouth and put your flesh into subjection. You are the ruler. Not those thoughts. Open up your mouth and cast it down. You have. And Jesus says, don't get excited about that.
Yeah.
Don't get excited about your abilities. Get excited about heaven.
Yeah.
Get excited about heaven.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oftentimes, we get ourselves excited about our talents, our intelligence, our wisdom. And this is the first time I saw in the Bible. This is just me. This is the first time I saw in the Bible where Jesus gets joyful. It almost, when you read the Bible, it's like he just gets agitated. As you read the Bible, he just gets upset at the people who are just in sin. But in this moment, Jesus gets excited. The Bible says he gets joyful in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because for the first time, the people that are in front of him are actually seeing salvation. And they're actually hearing salvation.
Yeah.
Jesus gets excited. excited because he's praying and he says, hallelujah, that the kings and the wise and prophets desired to see what these men are seeing, to hear what they're hearing. But the only difference is they were so caught in their abilities, in their knowledge, in their wisdom, in their titles.
That's it.
They couldn't see him. They couldn't hear him. And he's praying and says, thank you, Lord, for revealing this to babes. Because babes don't know no better. They're not caught up in their talents. They're not caught up in the titles. They're not caught up in their gifts. They just want to work. They just want to labor. And Jesus is saying, the harvest is plenty. But the laborers are few. We got people who are ready to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we don't have nobody that wants to do the work. Everybody just want to have titles and have gifts and know everything. I just want to know. And Jesus is saying, I'm thankful that my Father only revealed it to the ones who are ready to work. Who are ready to labor. And don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that we're just by our works. No, it's through faith. It is through faith. It is by grace through faith in which we are saved. But I'm reminded in the book of James that works without faith is dead. Faith without works is dead. In order for you to know what somebody really has faith in or believe in, you have to see the fruit through the works. Hear me, saints. Jesus is not going to judge you for what you know, or for your title, or for your gifts. He's going to judge you for what you do in your body. He don't judge you for what you know. I know you know. Can you imagine, as a fitness trainer, right? I have people, and listen, CJ, Stacy, Darrell, all of them tell you the same thing. When we have people come into our gym and they want to get in shape, I take their lives so serious, saints. I take it serious. I take it like life and death. You can ask the staff. I take it like life and death. Because heart disease is the leading cause of death in the world. Yeah. Let me go over this. I said heart disease is the leading cause of death in the whole wide world. Yeah. And so I take it serious. And when people come and they see me and I assess them and I say, we got to work on this and we got to work on that and we got to work on this and we got to work on that. And this is the strategy I put together for you. This is the workout plan that I put for you. This is the nutritional plan that I put for you. And you know what they say? Most of them, I already know that. I already know that. But by you knowing it, doesn't change anything. But we know everything. But if your knowing doesn't change into doing, then what is it? It's worthless. It's worthless. Jesus is talking to his disciples, his crowd. Can you imagine it? The crowd is around him. And he's talking to them. And he's giving them these secrets that the salvation, they can see it, they can hear it. He's right. Jesus, just spoiler alert, Jesus is salvation. He is the resurrection. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Yeah. And he's there, and they hear him, and they see him. And a man raises his hand, a lawyer, come on, a student of the law, a master of the law, he raises his hand, and he says, how? Great question. eternal life. How do you do it? And Jesus is a master. He don't just answer your questions. He actually asks a question back to you. Because this man is trying to catch Jesus in a lie. That's what they're about. So he throws it back and he says, what does your law say? What? How do you interpret that law? Hallelujah. And he says, love God with all your heart, your mind, soul, and strength. That's agape love.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he also says, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's agape love.
Yeah. Yeah.
This man just gave us the New Testament, the New Covenant laws for us as Christians. Wow. If we do those two things, yeah, that's the standard.
Yeah.
That's the blueprint for eternal life. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. Agape, love your neighbor as me. And Jesus says, you answered right. Ding, 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 you got it right. You know it. Now go and do it. Go and do that. And the lawyer says, to try to be justified. This is your antagonist. To try to justify himself.
Yeah.
He says, who is my neighbor? Who is it? Come on, somebody. Who are you? Who is it? Who is my neighbor? Can you imagine? Not any of you. Not any of you. But do you know anybody who's a parent that needs to be at home raising their kids? And because they have the title of a parent, they feel justified, I'm a dad, I've done enough. They feel justified that they'd rather do the bare minimum and not live up to the standard of a father or a mother. Come on, somebody. Do you know somebody that's a husband or a wife that bears the title? Need to be home with their husband. Need to be home with their wife. Need to get along. We are family. Right? But they ain't home with their husband. They're not home with their wife. Because they're clinging on to their title, their gifts. Do you know anybody like that? Can you imagine that somebody tries to lower the standard of their title or their gifts? Listen to what I'm saying. Don't lower the standard of the gift that God has given you. If he's given you that title, if he's given you that gift, if he's given you that knowledge, he's given it to you, not for you, but to bless the thing that he's given you. Because if you know what to do, and you don't do what you're supposed to do, then your faith is dead.
Come on.
Yes. It's dead. It's dead. Jesus, this man says, neighbor. Neighbor. He says, who is my neighbor? The word neighbor comes from this Greek word. Hallelujah. Let me find it. It's in here. Hallelujah. It comes from the word plesion. It means a person that lives in close proximity. But in the Jewish culture, it was predicated on the Mosaic covenant. In other words, you were only my neighbor if you were part of the Mosaic covenant. If you were a Jew, you were my neighbor. So this was your friend, this was your family member, this was your cousins, this was people who had shops, but we were all in the same covenant. But if you didn't, hallelujah, but if you weren't in our covenant, you were a stranger. You were a foreigner. You were an alien. Hallelujah. This is how it worked for this covenant. This, hallelujah, this is what the neighbor was defined under that covenant. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? As to say that nobody is worthy to be my neighbor.
Wow.
Nobody's worthy of what I got. You're not worthy of me giving you agape. So who is it? Who actually deserves this agape? Who deserves it? And Jesus, in all wisdom, the master. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus, the master, tells a parable. A parable is a make-believe, a made-up story to give you a godly, to give you a spiritual principle. And he gives this principle. He says, there was a man that journeyed. Stay with me, because it's going to bless you. There was a man that journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho. Traveled. This means that, and the people that he's talking to, there's a big crowd, so imagine this crowd listening. And he's traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Yeah. That is a 17-mile journey. Now let me explain something to you. Jerusalem is 6,200 feet above sea level. Jericho is 800 feet below sea level. This was a windy road to travel. This wasn't a great route to take. And while he's on his way to this route, the Bible says he falls. He falls on his route. He falls on his way. Is there anybody that has taken that route over and over and over again and nothing has ever happened, but you find yourself falling? And he fought and he failed. And the Bible says he got robbed. And the robbers, they robbed him. And they beat him up. And they stripped him. And they left him half dead. And he's laying there. I can only imagine him laying there, being beaten, being robbed, being stripped, being left for dead. Is there anybody that's ever been in a situation where somebody has abused you, abandoned you, having you feel stripped, having you feel beaten? Hallelujah. Having you feel broken up? Hallelujah. Left for dead? Come on, somebody. I want to remind you that when you're broken up like that, we have a Savior in heaven. And if you just open up your heart, he will rescue you. Hallelujah. Stripped, beaten. Hallelujah. Left for dead. And the Bible says, while he's there half dead, a man, a priest. How lucky am I?
Come on.
How lucky am I? A priest? Yes, I'm saved. And the priest, the Bible says, came, saw him. In other words, knew he was injured, knew he had been beaten, saw. And the Bible says that he went to the other side. When I look this up in Greek, the Bible says that when you go to the other side when somebody else is in need, that means that you are with the enemy that attacked.
Jesus.
You are with the individual that attacked them because you went to the other side. A priest, a man of God, a man of the cloth, devoting his life to the Lord. This is what I expect help from a priest. Could you imagine? Try to go to somebody that you know is holy, and they cut you off. They abandon you. They shut you off. They shut you off. They won't be near to you. Can you imagine? Come on, somebody. Following him, the Bible says, was a Levite. A Levite is from the Aaron, it's the Levite priesthood. These are individuals that work in the inner courts of the temple. Yeah, they're workers. They help the priest. They help the priest. They take the offerings and they clean it. They're the Levites. If Levites serve the church. A Levite is somebody, if you need somebody to sing, they gonna sing. That's the Levite. If somebody, if you need somebody to play an instrument, they gonna play. They're the Levites. Surely if the priest didn't have time for me, the individual that actually works and serves the priest, they got it. But the Bible says that he goes to the other side. He teams up with my enemy. The enemy that's against you, that wants to kill, steal, and destroy you, and ensure that you quit so that you don't make it to glory. Then Jesus introduces the last character, the Samaritan. And I can only imagine the people who are listening to all of this. They're like, oh, he's a goner. It's over now. He ain't gonna never come see me up. It's a Samaritan. You guys know what a Samaritan is? It's a Samaritan. A Samaritan, the Jews had no affiliation with Samaritans.
That's right.
At all. See, 700 years prior, 700 BC, Samaria was conquered by Assyria and the Babylonians. And 300 years after that, the Macedonians, Alexander the Great, conquered them and they were intermarrying. And so because of that, they were considered Gentiles. They were no longer in the covenant as a neighbor. So they were, in their minds, detestable. They had no dealings.
Hallelujah.
They had no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritan comes up on him. And the Bible says he sees him. And he feels compassion for him. This stranger. This journeyman, hallelujah, this alien comes from nowhere and has compassion, has pity for him. And the Bible says that he goes to him. He wraps him with bandages. He covers him. Oh God, I can already see Jesus. He covers him. The Bible says he takes wine and oil, and he dumps it on his scars, his wounds. The word wound is trauma. I'm here to tell you that Jesus will pour oil and wine on your trauma. I don't know what you've been through, but we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, that will cover your trauma. The worst thing that ever happened to you, he will cover you.
That is so good.
He put bandages on them, and in those days, the Bible just reads beast, but they rode camels and donkeys. He put the man who's half dead on his animal. Can you imagine? That means that if this man's half dead, that means that they both can't be on the animal. He had to walk this man on his animal to the nearest lodge. And when they get to the lodge, the Bible says that the man didn't just leave him, didn't abandon him. He took care of him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Man, I see Jesus. The Bible says that after that, the next day, he told the manager, the innkeeper, whatever he needs after that, I'll come back and pay it full cost. He already paid 2 days worth of money. He said, listen, I'll pay whatever it takes to take care of this man.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 He covered him.
Yes.
He had compassion for him.
Yes, God.
And he paid the cost. Write it down. Write it down on your phone. Write it down. He had compassion. He covered him. And he paid the cost. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. He had compassion. He covered his. He covered him. And he paid the cost. Write it down. Jesus asks the lawyer, which one of these is a neighbor? Which one of these dudes is a neighbor? And the man says, the one that showed compassion, the one that showed mercy, that one that showed leniency. Come on, somebody. I'm reminded that when I was broken, when I was left for dead, when I was beat up, mistreated, used, left for dead, that Jesus Christ, that he came to me.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
He had compassion on me.
Yeah.
He covered me.
Yeah.
And he paid the cost.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah. Right.
Hallelujah. Jesus was redefining what a neighbor was. It wasn't about the covenant.
That's good.
It wasn't about the covenant. He was redefining what a neighbor is. A neighbor is one that expresses their love through compassion. Love is the result of your compassion. I want you to write this down. Knowing a neighbor won't grant you eternal life, but being one will. Knowing a neighbor won't grant you eternal life, but being one will. That's good to me. I was gonna get myself. Hallelujah! Knowing a neighbor won't grant you eternal life, but being one will. Can I keep it real? Forever young people, those who are 65 and over, I pray that you hear my context and don't get offended by my content. If you're over the age of 60, I pray that you hear my context and not my content. I need to talk to some of the people who are 40 or 50 and below. I live in a culture where we can use certain language that everybody can't use. As a black man, we have used a language, a term that was once venomous. And what our culture did was it extracted the venomous poison from the word that we have been able to have the liberty to use in an endearing way.
That's
right.
That's right.
And it's sometimes derogatory. If we're gonna keep it real. And when I look at all the people in the room, I know that you do. I know that you do. I know that you do. I know that you are that neighbor. Because I see you doing. I know that you are that neighbor because I see you doing. I know that you are that neighbor because I see you doing. And I might come up to somebody, Wally, I know you that dude because I see you doing. But I might go up to somebody like Wally because when he does what he does. I might give him a high five, and in my culture, I might say, you my nigga. You my nigga. And I'm saying it in an endearing way, you my nigga. But even though I'm saying that in an endearing way, and we know culturally what that means to us,
yeah.
I would never speak to God and when God does a good thing, say he my nigga. I would never do that. You might do it, but I would never do that. And I can only imagine when I go out into the community, why do I consider them, when I can consider them as neighbors? Because when God blessed me and he had compassion on me, he was my neighbor. So that I can go into the community and see myself in them, and I can also see my neighbor. So instead of calling them my nigga, perhaps it would change some things if I called them my neighbor. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? My neighbor. Ha! My neighbor. Touch your neighbor and say, you my neighbor. I know what you really want to say, but you ain't got to say it. You can say, touch your neighbor and say, you my neighbor. You my neighbor. I know, but you, hey, but look, you gonna remember this though. You gonna remember. You gonna remember. I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine something with me. Imagine for 1 week, that the whole church stopped bickering and complaining and fighting amongst each other, for 1 week went out and was a neighbor. 1 week. Can you imagine what that would do to a community? Can you imagine what that would do to your marriage? Can you imagine what that would do on the workplace? What if we did it for a month? What if the church did it for a year? There will probably be no killing, no divorce, no church issues, no tension. It would just be love.
Yeah.
For 1 year, if I saw you the way that God sees me,
more.
The way that I see you,
yeah.
The way that he sees me, the way that I see you, the way that I see me. Imagine that. For 1 year, this is what I'm asking Israelite Church to do. Grab your phones. We do homework here.
That's right, yeah. Application.
We do homework here. I almost called the church Application Church. Y'all not tired of that. I almost called it Application. This week, do you have some music back there? Go ahead and play it. For this week, I'm asking you, I want you to take your phones out this week. Find somebody that you can be a neighbor to. Take a photograph with them. And be a neighbor. Maybe somebody that don't look like you. Maybe somebody don't talk like you. Maybe somebody don't share your same faith. But this week I'm asking you to take a picture of them. If you're not technologically sound, email me. I want to know what happened at pastor@israellife.church. I want to know what happened. Because this church, we're not going to miss out on eternal life.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to find a loophole. We're not going to just be hearers of the word, but we're going to be doers of the word.
Yeah.
We're not going to be excited about our gifts and our titles.
Yeah.
But we're going to be excited about the championship.
Yeah.
Our name is recorded in the book life in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Reach your hands out for me. I want to pray for you. Father, it is finished. This is the 70 times 70 people who you're sending out. Sheep among the wolves. We know that the harvest is plenty, but your laborers are few. We'll go. We will go, Father. And this is just a sample of the much that are coming to transform this world into a kingdom world. We thank you for what you've done today. I ask that you will bless the hearts and the minds of the people, that everybody knows what to do. Give us the authority and the zealousness to do it. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.